This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in, and we trust the program will be a blessing to you. If you'd like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. We do appreciate those of you who take the time to write and who pray for this ministry. The website has quite a little information on it that you might find interesting. There's a weekly email meditation that does get emailed to quite a few people. If you'd like to be on that list, send me your address, your email address, and I'll put you on the list. In addition, the program can be re-listened to there. It can be downloaded to your website there, so you can forward it to others if you would like to. Now, again, if you want to leave me prayer requests, if you'd like to be placed on the free subscription list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time, then I'll need your address so I can send it on to them. So you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write my website address and my mailing address down at the close of the program. Now today we're going to go back to our study in Luke chapter 10 and 11. Actually today we're starting with Luke chapter 11 verse 1, and the subject today is prayer. We noted as we quit last time that one of the things that we should be doing is we should be praying about how to be a blessing to others. Not only should we be thankful, but we have noted that it would be nice if we could be the source of others' thankfulness. And I think sometimes in order to do that right without seeming self-serving, it takes an awfully a lot of prayer. And so when we come to this passage in Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples." And I want to stop there for just a minute, because it is true that we're often asked, those of us who try to minister the word, if we can give suggestions as to how to pray, or if we have prayers that people can pray, and we know that people write prayers down and they memorize prayers, and we talk about how good certain prayers are. But, you know, really, we need to understand that when it comes to our relationship with God, once we come to know the Lord, prayer should be an automatic thing. It's a conversation with God. And we know that people, before they are saved, pray. We know that the Lord hears those prayers. He hears them in a different way than he hears the prayers of his own people. In Luke chapter, or in Acts, I'm sorry, chapter 10, there was a centurion that Peter was sent to preach the gospel to, and it's quite clear that he was not saved. But yet the Lord said his alms and his prayers had come up for a remembrance before him. The man, through his alms and prayers, evidenced that he had a fear of God, though he had not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he did have a fear of God. He wanted to worship right, and he wanted to do right. And so the Lord had taken note of his prayers. But when we're saved, God becomes our Father, and we can have a conversation with him. We do it in the name of the Lord. That means the authority of the Lord. We have the power of the Holy Spirit to guide us with regard to that praying. But when we look at this section, and we see it also in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel, when we look at this section, this is not a prayer that is some magic formula for getting God's blessing. This is a pattern prayer, and it gives us the elements of prayer. Now, as we look at this passage, the elements are given to us in a very concise way, and since this seems to be public prayer, or a description of how to pray publicly, you'll notice that it's short. Public prayers normally do not have to be long. When we're praying in public, there's usually a specific thing that we're praying about, and it should be prayed for in a reverent way, and it should not be long. I think that when we pray, it's well for those of us who are saved to make sure that we are praying in the name of the Lord Jesus. We should not be ashamed of that name. Many times, because of the nature of our society, Oh, we try to pray to a God that anybody could pray to. But God says there's only one God. And while we don't want to force other people to be uncomfortable in our presence if they aren't believers, yet at the same time, if we are asked to pray, we have to be faithful in praying to the God that we have trusted in. And we should pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. We should not be afraid of that name, even in public. And if we can't do that in a way that is reverent, in a way that is not obnoxious, then probably that's not a good time to pray, because that's who we pray. We pray to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus. But it's a conversation. And when somebody comes to me and talks to me, I don't expect them to have a conversation with me by reading a prepared statement. I would like to have them talk to me. There might be some ands and there might be some uhs in what they say. There might be some disjointed thinking. They might go on rabbit trails, but I want to have a conversation with them. I want to know their heart. And I think God's much the same way. So prayer is a conversation with God. It can be praise. It can be thanksgiving. It can be supplication. That is, we can be asking somebody who is obviously in authority over us for something. We can intercede. That is, we can pray on behalf of somebody else. And those are things that we should be doing. We should be having those kinds of conversations with God. The Bible commands us to pray for those in authority. We should be doing that. We are concerned about the political situation in our country. And I've heard an awfully lot about how to vote. But what we really need to hear is how to pray. Because God is the one who has allowed us to have the government we have. He's allowed us to have the leaders that we have. And whether you really believe in the scriptural nature of a true democracy or not, it's the best the world has to offer. And so we have to pray to God to overrule in the affairs of men. And when a man is placed in office, even if we don't like him, I believe if the prayers of the people got behind him, and instead of resisting him, we prayed for his blessing, God can use him. I think God can even change him. And I think that we ought to keep that in mind as we think of the leaders of our country. God has placed people, we look down through history at the Abraham Lincolns, at the Trumans, and the people that God put in position in our country at the appropriate time for the appropriate need. And we should have confidence that God knows what he's doing, and we should be praying for those that are in authority, not praying against them. We should be praying that they make their decisions in the fear of God, and we should be praying that God guides them. And if we don't think they're saved, we should be praying that God saves them. We should pray for our families. That's not a hard thing to do, is it? It's obvious that we're concerned about our families. But however we pray, we should pray for the leaders in our churches and so on. However we pray, we should be comfortable talking with God after we are saved. Now I realize that prayer starts in the closet. And that's really where we're supposed to pray the long prayers and where we're supposed to be comfortable talking to God. When we talk about the closet, we're just talking about praying in private. But there are times when we pray publicly, and when we pray publicly, I think that we should be praying in such a way that we're having that same conversation with God. And while we might want to think through our prayer before we pray so that we are not offensive, at the same time, we should be honest in our praying, and it should be obvious that this is communication between one of God's own, one of God's children, and the Father who loved them and gave his Son to die for them. Before salvation, sin separated us from God. The Bible tells us your sin has separated between you and your God, and we were opposed to God. We were enemies of God, and it was difficult to speak to God. It would, and even Christians who have gotten away from the Lord and are living in sin, it's not easy for them to talk to the one that they've offended. But we who are saved and in fellowship with the Lord, we should be able to have this conversation, and we should be comfortable having it. That should be the normal way that we pray. So when he says, teach us how to pray, and he goes through what we call the Lord's Prayer, He's really not saying use these exact words. He's saying this is a pattern for the way you should pray. And so verse 2, he says unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. There's supposed to be reverence there, isn't there? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. And so we recognize that God does have a will. And I will tell you this, that one of the things he wills is that all men should be saved and we should be used in that great program. We might not change the course of nations on this earth, but we can change the course or the destiny of individuals if we pray for them and if we preach to them, if we share the gospel with them, if we tell them what has been a blessing in our lives and why we love the Lord. So we should be able to advance the kingdom. Thy will be done. The Bible tells us what his will is with regard to our work. Our will is to go in, his will is that we would go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's his will. Then he says, give us day by day our daily bread. Now, we really want to lay up for the future, and I know that as you come to the Proverbs, the answer used as a picture of those who are industrious and do lay up for the winter. But the Lord tells us to be satisfied when our needs for the day are satisfied and to rely on him. This is a tough one for me. But anyway, we can certainly give thanks day by day for the fact that we have daily food to eat. And then he says, forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Now, what he's saying is you're not saved through forgiving others. But if you want to talk to me and you want to have open communication and you want to have fellowship with me and you want to have these conversations with me, you're going to have a hard time doing it if you're holding a grudge against somebody else. So forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And I fear that that might be one of the reasons many of us don't pray, because that's a hard thing to do. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So we want to have a peaceable life. We don't want to be placed in situations where we have to choose between life and death in order to serve the Lord. And we can pray to that end. And so he tells us that this is the elements of a pattern prayer. And if you are concerned about whether the Lord is going to answer, you keep praying. I'm not going to read the next section, but it has to do with praying when people, when it's really not an opportune time to pray, going to your friend at midnight and asking for something. And he says, if you'll do that, if you ask, you'll receive. If you seek, you'll find. And if you knock, the door will be opened unto you. And that's a promise of God. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless this little meditation on prayer. We pray for thy blessing on those who have listened. We trust that if there are those who are not saved, that you'll lead them to the Savior today. We just give you thanks for your good gifts, for your blessing, for being able to talk to you in our Savior's name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.